This is Press Play on 89.9 KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Sea otters were nearly hunted to extinction in the early 20th century for their pelts. But thanks to conservation efforts, their numbers here in California have rebounded from about 50 in 1938 to around 3,000 today. The Monterey Bay Aquarium has played an important role in this ecological success story, fostering abandoned otter pups for later release into the wild. And now, here in Southern California, the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach is joining the initiative. It has its first orphaned otter. Megan Smiley is the manager of the Aquarium Sea Otter Program. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you. Well, talk about this otter and where you found her or him.
Great question. So our first releasable sea otter pup here at the Aquarium of the Pacific. Right now, her identification is Sea Otter 968. And she was stranded as a young pup just north of Santa Cruz and was brought into Monterey Bay Aquarium and stabilized there, a little bit of triage care from their staff, at which point, because we are their partner in their sea otter surrogacy program, 968 was brought down here in the beginning of February, and we have been helping to rehabilitate her with the help of our adult female, Millie.
So what is Millie doing for 968?
So Millie is acting as a surrogate mother to 968, who's going to teach her all of the necessary skills that are going to be needed out in the ocean. Because ideally, the plan is that 968 will be released back to the ocean, hopefully late summer or early fall.
And what kind of skills is Millie teaching her?
Millie is teaching her how to sufficiently groom her coat. The sea otter's fur coat is probably their first and best defense at staying warm in the cold waters that they live in. And so their fur is super dense. It's actually creating a waterproof barrier between their skin and the water, and it helps keep them warm. In addition to that, Millie is teaching 968 how to manipulate prey items. Here at the aquarium, we are offering a variety of different types of prey for her to practice this. And Millie is showing her how to do it. Millie is bringing her food and offering it to her. And then teaching the pup how to play with the food and really manipulate those shelled items so that she can pull all of the meat and calories out of that prey.
So we always see pictures of them lying on their backs and eating some kind of shellfish thing on their chests. Is that how they eat?
Absolutely. So they're going to dive down to the bottom of the ocean, gather up their prey items, and then bring them to the surface and have more or less a buffet on their chest. And they're going to run through all of that food that they've gathered on the bottom until they are sufficiently full. And then they'll spend some time at the surface grooming that fur again and then having a little rest. And they will repeat that same cycle throughout the day, every few hours, 24 hours a day. Sea otters in general are eating a variety of benthic invertebrates. So a bunch of filter feeders, maybe some different invertebrates like crabs, mussels, clams, even sea snails. One of the most famous prey items of sea otters are sea urchins. And that'll talk a little bit more about the conservation story for them, but and their effect on their habitats.
And it's important for the environment that they're eating sea urchins, right? Because sea urchins feed off the kelp forests, and we need the kelp forests to sequester carbon.
Exactly. So the sea urchins are only really eating the holdfast of the kelp, which if you compared the plant to a terrestrial plant, it would be a little bit like the root system. It's not gathering nutrients from there, but it is grounding the plant in the water. And so when the holdfast is removed or eaten, the rest of the kelp just floats away and dies. And so with these out of control urchin populations, it's just decimating the kelp forest. And you're exactly right. The kelp forests help sequester carbon. During the photosynthesis process, they're absorbing carbon into the plant itself. And then eventually that plant will get washed and buried under at the bottom of the sea. And so it's a great carbon sequestration tool, and sea otters really helped protect that.
And as I said in the intro, there are only around 3,000 sea otters today. Why haven't they rebounded more?
It's a really good question. And scientists are speculating on a few different things. Some of it is that they're having a hard time expanding their territories. And there's a few reasons for that. Number one, recently in the past decade or so, the climate change has created warmer waters farther north than typically have been found there. And so white shark populations have started to congregate and overlap with the sea otter habitats. And what we're finding is that the white sharks are not necessarily eating the sea otters, but they are cases of mistaken identity. And usually one shark bite is fatal to a sea otter. Some other reasons that they're not really expanding in population is because of some of the kelp forests sort of being degraded, a lot of the biodiversity and food availability for them has changed. Maybe there's not as much prey available, or that they are maxed out on the number of otters in a certain geographic location.
So, how important is the foster program? Are there a lot of orphaned sea otters?
There are, on average, between 10 to 15 sea otter pups, southern sea otter pups, that strand every year. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of capacity in the surrogacy program relative to those numbers. So, Monterey Bay Aquarium, who pioneered this whole program, has capacity for roughly 4 orphaned otters a year. Now that the Aquarium of the Pacific is online, we also have capacity for 4 sea otters a year. However, if you do the math, we're still short a little bit. And so, really, our community, we are all trying to work to maximize the capacity of this type of program or sea otter rehabilitation in general, because the need is there and we are trying to expand our program so that we can help expand some of the natural population.
Okay, so if all goes well, 968 will return to the wild by the end of the summer.
End of summer or early fall is an age-appropriate time for that, definitely. She's 4.5 months old right now, and usually animals get released around 8 to 9 months old. And really, there's not the timeline is arbitrary. We're really looking more for milestones. Can she take care of herself properly? That includes being able to manipulate all sorts of food items. And can she socialize properly? So her next big steps are going to be getting weaned from Millie at around 6 months of age, and then socialized with some other juvenile otters, which would replicate what she's going to experience out in the ocean.
Megan Smiley is the Aquarium of the Pacific's Sea Otter Program Manager. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that will do it for us today on Press Play. You can follow us on the socials. We are at KCRW. I'm at The Mad Brand. And thank you for listening today. I'm Madeline Brand, and I'll be back with you again tomorrow.